Psalms 119. We're down at verse 129. Psalms 119, verse 129. You follow along. I'm just going to read verse 129 and verse 130, and then we'll get down to verse 136 this evening. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doeth thy servant keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth life. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Let's pray. Father, I surely thank you for this opportunity that you have allowed me to be able to preach your word. I pray, Father, that you would use this message tonight, that it would bring honor and glory to you. And I pray to encourage us, help us in our walk. Lord, help us to have a desire in our heart that we would love you, draw closer, spend more time with you, show you how much we love you. And Lord, I just pray for your protection over us. Just keep us safe in Jesus, your precious name. Amen. As I have told you before in Psalms 119, every single word that's in this chapter is the very words of God. What's unique is it's the longest chapter in the book. And then also, almost every verse, not all, but almost every verse has something about God's word in it, right? So you can see that in this section, verse 29, it's testimonies. Verse 30 is words. Verse 31 is commandments. Verse 32, what it says here, look unto me, be merciful unto me, and thou used to do to those that love thy name. This one you could say, maybe not, right? But you could also see how it applies. It goes on, let's see here, thy word in 33, verse 34, precepts, verse 35, statutes, verse 36, law. Amen. So not every single one, but most of them. But what you see is in this section, each section is dealing with something different. And in this section, we can see as the psalmist, I believe this is David, you can see about his love for God, his love for God's word. He just loves the very words of God. And he says, thy testimonies are wonderful, right? I'll skip that last part and go up to verse 32. The entrance of thy word giveth life. It gives understanding unto the simple. Here is he's describing God's word as wonderful. Wonderful. And what and how he's describing, he says that testimonies are wonderful. He's not talking about a verse. There's a verse that's there that's wonderful. He's talking about it all. You know, there's sometimes when I go through the Bible, there's some verses just speaks to my heart, and I love them. Amen. There's some verses that will, you know, you're reading through and God speaks to your heart, and you may have there, some of them say that it's a life verse that they have, or they look at a verse that's encouragement. And don't misunderstand, there's nothing wrong with having verses that will help you. But can I tell you, every single verse that's in this book is wonderful. Every single one was put there because of love from God, because he wanted you to know something. God gave you something to help us. As David said here, he says, the entrance of thy word giveth life. What he's describing is kind of like someone that's entering a building, you know, as they enter in. I remember the first time I was, when I was at the University of West Virginia, before I got saved, I had a friend, a roommate who lived in Pittsburgh. He wanted me to do was to go home with him sometime to Pittsburgh. And I'm not a big city guy. I always like the smaller places. He's like, and he kept on telling me, go home. Come on one time. And then one time I said, all right, I'll go with you to Pittsburgh. So we get in the car. And as we get in the car and we were driving, I can't remember what the road is that we're going to go to Pittsburgh. What I remember is that guy could not drive well. Amen. He was a crazy driver. I was thinking, I am going to die. I've never come to Pittsburgh again. But I remember as we were going up, so it was down from West Virginia, you know, traveling up to Pennsylvania, there's this place on this road where it's like a little mountain. Has anyone ever been to Pittsburgh before? Anybody ever been to Pittsburgh? But there's this mountain that's here, and as you're going, so again, you have to go from south to going up north. As you're traveling through, and you go into this mountain, it's a tunnel. And so you're going into this tunnel that's there, and you're going into this, and next thing you know, as soon as you come out of the tunnel, there's the city. And I mean, Pittsburgh is not the best place in the world, but it was pretty. Amen. You had the lights, you'd see bridge, and it was just, right? It was kind of like you go through that bridge, and you go through there, you entered. It was an entrance into Pittsburgh. And could I tell you, that was the best part about Pittsburgh. Amen. I'm just teasing. Anyway, he's saying here that when you pick up that Bible, right? The entrance of thy word, as soon as you get into this book and you start reading it, it giveth life. God's word will shine a light on your path. God will shine a light. It's kind of like you're in a tunnel and you're thinking, what should I do? And you get into that scripture. What is it? It'll shine a light of the direction to go. It'll show you where to go. And David is speaking about that. He's speaking about his word. He speaks of his word, how it gives wisdom. Gives wisdom. Sometimes people say, hey, you're a pretty smart guy. And I'm thinking, no, I'm not a smart guy. Amen. I just know God. Amen. And I know his word. People will be like, whoa, that helped me. You're smart. No, I'm not smart. I'm smart enough to know to go to the book. But I know that his word is true. Amen. And I know if you take his word and apply it to your heart, it's going to work out every single time. Amen. And here it is. That's what he's saying. He says it gives understanding to the simple. Sometimes people give me way too much credit, amen? It's God, amen? And that's what David is saying here. David is saying his word. David is saying, your word helps me in making wise decisions. You go back and look at David's life of what we have recorded in the scripture in his younger life going up. And you know what you'll see a constant thing from David at the beginning of his life? And maybe, yes, he had a time in his life. He made some bad decisions. But you know what you'll see at the beginning? He would always pray. He would pray. There was a time he was going out against the Philistines. He prayed and said, Lord, what should we do? And God said, do this. And he did it, and they defeated the Philistines. Those Philistines came back the same way. It looked like everything was set up the exact same. David prayed again. Said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And God said, don't go what you did last time. Do something different. And it worked. There was a time where David was going to go out to battle, and they said, no, you can't go to battle. And he went home with the guys, and as he went back to their place, the enemy went into their place where they lived and took their wives, took their children, took them all. And those people got mad, and they started to take it out on their leader, David. And they were thinking about stoning him. You know what David did? He prayed. Amen? The reality is he would pray. He would seek God and say, Lord, give me wisdom. And ultimately, God gave him wisdom and told him what to do. And they start to go down a path, and they run into a slave that the owner of that slave didn't care about him. He left him sick. David helped this man to get better. And he says, hey, where are you from? And it just by chance, there's no chance, God is fully aware of everything, that this man was of the enemies who just told his family. Folks, can I tell you, God has things planned out. He prayed. What was it? God directed them there. And God led him and went to the enemy. Folks, here it is. David is saying, he says, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Folks, can I tell you this? This Bible will help you in every decision you ever make. The hardest decisions, the smallest decisions. You should pray about everything. Amen? Pray to the God of heaven and say, Lord, give me understanding. Help me. Show me the direction to go. Lord, open your word to my heart and show me whatever I'm going through in life that I know how to apply this situation in your word to my heart. And can I tell you, you'll never regret the decisions that you made. Look what the Bible says. We'll be coming back here to Psalms in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll be coming back to Psalms. So if you want to keep your finger there, feel free to do. 2 Timothy chapter 3, David tried his best to keep God's word. Look what the Bible says over here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, look what the Bible says here, starting at verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed. God gave it. Is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Can I tell you, when you look at these scriptures, Paul was reminding Timothy, he says, Timothy, when you were a child, remember the scriptures that you had that led you to salvation. Can I tell you, you and I can know how to go to heaven because God has given us His Word. There's people out there that are thinking, trusting in fables or trusting in these, whatever it is. They're trusting in they saw this fake vision or whatever. And can I tell you, we have the very words of God that will tell you how for salvation. Think about it, we have the very words of God that tells you how to live a successful Christian life. You can live a successful Christian life. I'm not talking about becoming a multi-millionaire. That's not success. You think about, if we follow the philosophy of the world, then the reality is this, we would all be failures. If you're taking your success based on what the success of the world is, the truth is, you're going to be miserable. Can I tell you, the best thing to do is find what God says is successful. And can I tell you, you live a successful Christian life will be someone that gets saved. Amen? Someone that follows in baptism, someone that comes a part of a local church, someone that uses their life for God, someone that surrenders to God and says, I'm just going to serve you. That is a successful Christian life. Amen? And can I tell you, you may never become a multimillionaire. You may not be famous as those in the world, but can I tell you, in heaven you'll be rejoicing when you meet our Savior face to face and He says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I don't want to be successful as in what the world defines. I want to be successful as what God defines, amen? And God has given us His Word that we can know. You think about this Bible will protect you. There's some young people out there, and some of them are thinking about making bad decisions, and some of them, before they get married, are thinking about committing a fornication. Can I tell you, this Bible will protect you and said, wait to marriage. But it'll protect you. It'll also warn you and say, hey, don't go in that direction. I try to counsel young people and tell young people, when you find someone to marry, make sure they're a Christian. If they're not a Christian, don't marry them. And you'll have people that get mad at you, but it's a warning to say if you do, your father-in-law is going to be the devil. Amen? Folks, can I tell you, marry a Christian. You may say, well, can't find one. But the best thing to do is surrender to God, live for God. And if it's God's will, God will bring someone. If not, live for Him anyway, amen? But anyway, it will protect you, will warn you, will help you grow, will comfort you, will bring joy to your heart. Go back here to Psalms 119. In Psalms 119, as he continues on, he's down here at verse 131. In Psalms 119, verse 31, he says, I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. That word panted is talks about a long or a desire. It is used in another verb form. If you go back here to Psalms 43, in Psalms 43, in verse 1, turn back here to Psalms 43, verse 1. David is longing for God's word. He uses that word panteth. Look here what the Bible says in Psalms. Actually, look at Psalms 42. It says, as a hart panteth after water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and peer before God? Here it is. He's given this thoughts in Psalms 42, verse 1 and 2 about this heart that maybe this heart was being chased by someone and it took off and finally it got away and it's thirsty. There's longing for this drink and it sees this creek, spring, whatever it is you want to define it as. And it goes down to it and drinks that water. Did you ever been in a race or running and you got done? You're just desiring for a drink. I love drinking coffee, but if I'm out running, I just long for that water, nice cold water, just to have it. David is describing, it says, my soul thirsted for God. Yeah, he longed for God. In some, go back to Psalms 119. He's longing for God's word. In Psalms 119 in verse 31, I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. Can I tell you, David desired for God's word. As that water quenches your thirst, David's saying, what can quench my thirst is his very words of God. I want it. I want to read it. I want to know what it says. Do you remember that day that you got saved? What a wonderful blessing. Someone told you about Jesus Christ. You may have heard it on the radio, or you were in the preaching service, and maybe you read the scripture or tract, whatever it was, and you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you got saved. And after you got saved, there's that desire that's in your heart that you want to read the Bible. You want to pick it up and read it and understand it. I remember there was a man down in Waynesboro. This man could not read. He was 40-some years old, and he was never able to read. And he was led to Christ. Someone told him about Jesus and led him to Christ. Now, here's a man that's 40-something, maybe may have been 50-some years old, can't remember. But he couldn't read. And he longed for God's Word. So he ended up giving him cassette tapes that had the Bible on it. And he would sit there and listen for it.
Amen.
You know? False, what I'm saying is, when you get saved, there's a longing that's in your heart that you want to pick up this book and read it and understand it. You want to know more about the God of heaven who saved your soul. You want to know more about what He has. You want to learn more of His character and things about Him. The one who gave up His life. David said here, I'm longing, I'm panting, there's that thirst that I have that only God can give. Or God can fill. And here is that desire that he had for his word. Oh, do you still long for the Bible like that? Do you still have that desire to spend time with God? Spend time alone with God to read his word? If not, can I tell you, maybe tonight will encourage you to get back to that place where you need to be of spending time reading his word. Look what he says here in verse 132. He says, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou used to do unto those that love thy name. Now, David didn't mention who the people were that he was referring to here. So I could only use speculation, right? I'm not 100% sure. But I do know that David would have had to have the scriptures that he had. And he picked up those scriptures and he looked at them and started to read them. And as he was reading through those scriptures, there were some Old Testament saints that David did not know, but he knew them through the scripture. Maybe it was Noah, and maybe when he picked up and he was reading about Noah, and he saw that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, Genesis chapter 6. And maybe he's thinking, God told him what to write, and he wrote this down, and that he's thinking about Noah, that God should nurse mercy on Noah. Oh, could I tell you, Noah was just like us, a wicked old man saved by grace, but he loved God. He tried his best to live in a very wicked time to live for God. You know, you and I may say it's hard to live for God, and it is hard to live for God in this wicked world. But can I tell you, we can go to the Bible and we could see someone like Noah who lived for God. He lived for God, and you think about it, it helped him to reach his family. His family were saved. You know, if we went by success of the standards of the world, people would say Noah was a failure because he only saved his family. And can I tell you, we look down in the scripture, you know what we see? Noah wasn't a failure. Amen? He was successful. You can't control what people do. Amen? Our responsibility is to tell and share the gospel. If they reject it, that's their choice. But here it is, David is referring to it. So maybe he's thinking back to Noah. Or maybe he's thinking back to when God showed mercy to Abraham. He's taken back to Abraham before Abraham had a child, and he was thinking what it must have been for Abraham, how old he was, and then finally have a son. I think he was 100, Sarah was 90, I think it was, or vice, I think that's how it was. And maybe he looked and was thinking, wow, God's mercy to him. Amen? And here it is, as he's referring back to the Scriptures and thinking about those of the Old Testament, as even David was in the Old Testament, and he's thinking back to these men that he never knew, and he saw God's mercy on him. He's saying, Lord, we also have mercy on me. Folks, I want you to understand, when God has given us His Word, yes, there's some history that's there that we can glean from, but there is a purpose and a reason God has given this book to us that would help us. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Romans. I believe it's the book of Romans, chapter 15. In the book of Romans, chapter 15. In Romans, chapter 15. So he looked at the Scripture and he saw how God had mercy on others. And he's asking God to have mercy on him. Oh, that would be so wise for us. Excuse me a second. I thought I had to sneeze. And I thought, right. Look here in Romans chapter 15. It'd be wise for us to ask the Lord for mercy. Amen. Say, Lord, show mercy on me. Look here, the Bible says in Romans chapter 15, down to verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, right? The things of the Old Testament, things that were written in the Scripture, were written for our learning. Everything that was in this book is for your and my learning. That we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. That word hope refers to as confidence. God is telling us that He has given us His Word, the Old Testament, those stories that we read, that ultimately we can learn patience. We're talking about that in Sunday school. The trying of our faith worketh patience. And here it is, God saying, hey, I gave you these things in the Old Testament that will help you to realize and to have patience, but it will also comfort you. Folks, can I tell you, God has given us His Word. Whatever you're going through, you can go to this book and it will give you comfort. Look as David, he turned back here to Psalms 119. In Psalms 119, as we get down to verse 133, as David is talking about God's Word, his love for God's Word, his longing for God's Word, his reading through God's Word, of how God's speaking to his heart and how he's applying it to his life. And now he says in Psalms 119, verse 33, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. That word dominion talks about power. Here it is. He's desiring God to order my steps in thy word. He wanted God to help. He had a desire to apply the Scriptures to his heart. And he's saying, Lord, will you help me to apply your Scriptures to my heart? I want to know this. I want to have that understanding. I want to make sure I'm making the right decisions. His desire was to please the Lord. He had a love for God. But he also knew, he says, order my steps in thy word, let not any iniquity have dominion over me. He knew if he spent more time in the Scripture, he knew if he spent more time meditating in the Word of God, he did more time memorizing the Scripture, it would help him with his old sin nature that he had. It would help him with the battle of sin. Folks, can I tell you, as I was preaching on that today, you're never going to get rid of your sin nature until you get to heaven. You and I are in a battle. Every single day you're in a battle. You wake up, you're in a battle. You go home, you're in a battle. You go to bed, you're in a battle. I mean, you're in a battle. And folks, can I tell you what we need to do is spend more time in this book. We need to spend more time reading the Scripture, memorizing the Scripture, applying it to your heart. The more that you put in, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Amen. What was it? David was putting the scripture in his heart. He was memorizing of the scripture that was there. Why? So that way it would help him. We had an elderly family that was up in this area. And her name was Doris. I remember Miss Doris, she would tell me that her eyesight wasn't the best. And as her eyesight wasn't the best, when she was younger, after she got saved, I think she got saved in the 70s, if I recall correct, she started to, her pastor started to encourage them to memorize scripture. And as her eyesight started to get worse and worse, she couldn't see the scripture. But she would be so comforted to know that she could sit on her chair, and as she would sit on her chair, she could go back to those scriptures that she had memorized in her mind, and she could recite them that was there that would help her. Folks, could I tell you, you could put those scriptures in your heart and keep on putting those scriptures in your heart, and there's going to become a time where you're going to be like, oh, Lord, thank you. Amen. Can I tell you, here is David, he's helping us and saying, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. You know, this book will help you to stay away from sin, or sin will keep you away from this book. I believe that. Amen. You think about when someone, a lot of times you'll have someone, they're coming to church, you're thinking everything is right, and next thing you know, you don't see them. They start to become hit and miss. You know, the reality is, it wasn't when they started to become hit and miss that the problem. But I bet you if you can go into your life and you go back a little bit, probably a month ago, 6 months ago, they stopped reading this book like they should. And here it is, as they stop reading the book like they should, the reality is they're allowing more of the world to get in. And then you just see the results of them missing church. But it started a long time. It started before. Why? Because this book will convict you. The Holy Spirit will use it to convict your heart. You'll start reading something. And can I tell you, you can't go through the New Testament and not see the importance of a local church, being in church. Amen? It baffles me, you know. It's amazing to me, you know, I'm trying to reach lost, but also I'm trying to get those that claim to be saved into church. Amen. You would think it shouldn't be have to encourage people that are saved to get into church. Hey, come to church. Amen. You would think it would just have to be the lost. No, it's the lost. And sometimes it's the saved. Amen. Or sometimes it's those that claim to be saved. Amen. This is a place to be. Amen. Where you can learn and glean from the scripture, amen. Here it is. David knew the importance of being in the book. Look down here to verse 134. He says, deliver me from oppression of men, so I'll keep thy precepts. That word oppression talks about fraud and injury, cruelty, distress. When you think back to David's life, you know what you see? Deliver me from the oppression of men. David had it. I mean, David was a man after God's own heart, and we could see that even in this portion of Scripture. But you think about how there were those that did things to David. Remember, we were talking about, I don't think his dad did it intentionally or being mean, but his dad himself, you think about it, his dad, when Samuel came to him to anoint one of his sons king, his own dad, Jesse, didn't think David would be king. They went through, and they went through again, right? So I'm sure that could have weighed on David. David didn't allow it to bother him. His own brother, when he went to Goliath, tried to discourage him from fighting Goliath, right? And he said words that was there. But you think about, do you ever think about this? David was a man on the run. David was a wanted man. And it wasn't because he was an outlaw. He wasn't like he's, you know, Billy the Kid or things like that. No. David loved God. It was King Saul that put a mark on David and said, I want to kill him. And King Saul used his power and his might to try to go against David. Here is David is saying, Lord, deliver me from the oppression of men, the cruelty of people. I mean, think about it. King Saul had people come to David's own house to take him. And remember the time he pretend like he was sick that was there. And King Saul said, well, first time they were like, why didn't you bring him back? Oh, he's sick. Go get him. I don't care if he's sick. And they bring him back and he wasn't there, right? Remember what King Saul did? He knew that his one daughter was like, ugh, she's a troublemaker. He used his own daughter to go against David because he thought his own daughter would bring David down. Can you imagine that? The oppression of men. He had it marked in his family. Because Saul was his father-in-law. I mean, I think about it, right? You think about it, he had it in his family. He had it in his country. And all these things that was happening, look what he says, so will I keep thy precepts. He didn't allow the oppression of men, what? To get him away from this precious old book. Amen? Folks, can I tell you, this is the very words of God. Don't allow the oppression of people to get you away from this precious word of God. Look what he says here in verse 135. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. There's different times you'll see that's in this book where he's telling God, Lord, teach me. I want to learn. I want to know your word. Teach me. But look here, he says, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Here it is, he's saying, to bless, to look kindly upon me. Lord, when you look down from heaven, let your face to shine. Be kind unto me. Bless my life. Lord, help me. What is it? David had a desire. He loved God. And he wanted to be closer to God. I mean, he wanted a closeness to God. No wonder God called him a man after God's own heart. I mean, he just loved the Lord. And it was his desire to please the Lord. And then when you look at that, can you give me one of those Kleenexes, if you don't mind? Any one of those. Yeah. Thank you. Just bear with me a second here. Look here at verse 136. So knowing what we have just read from verse 129 down to verse 35... You know what you're saying? He's talking about God's love, or God's word, how much he loves it. He's longing for it. He's desiring it. You know, he's saying all these things. And then he says this in 136. Rivers of waters run down my eyes because they keep not thy word. You know, when I first read this, I mean, I've read it multiple times, right? But when you read those first seven verses, you would think the last verse in this section would continue on. Don't misunderstand, because you'll understand when I get to the point, right? So just hold on till I get there, right? You would think as it's building up, these seven verses that's building up, talking about God's word, God's love, how much he loves God's word, that you would think by the time you would get there, it would say something like, I can't wait to see your face. Or what it was about your word, right? Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not adding to or taking away God's word. I'm not diminishing God's word. Because what I'm trying to show you is how powerful this verse is. And when we first read it, we were thinking, maybe in your mind or maybe just me, you're thinking, I thought David would say something like, your word is so awesome and powerful. You said wonderful. But here he says, rivers of water run down my eyes because I keep not thy law. Do you know, when someone loves the Lord with their whole heart, it breaks their heart when someone else does not love the Lord. Those first seven verses, you see a longing for David, how much he loves God and loves his word. And loves his word so much. Then when he gets to the last verse that sometimes our mind would think it would be a continuation, can I tell you, it is a continuation when he says, rivers of water run down my eyes. Why is it? Because it broke his heart that there's people that's lost. It breaks his heart when David looks out and he saw people not living for God. those that are lost, because he knew that when they die, they'll spend eternity in hell. It broke David's heart as he looked out and he saw people that were supposed to be believers and they're not living for God. And it broke his heart. When he saw that, he had tears that run down his eyes. Rivers of water ran down my eyes. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. After my own heart, which would be God's own heart. The Bible tells us that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can I tell you, it is not God's will for those people that are lost out in this world to die and spend eternity in hell. It breaks God's heart for them to reject Him. It breaks God's heart to look over for those that are saved that should be in the church house and serving Him, and they're out doing something different and they don't have a desire for God like they should. And can I tell you, it breaks God's heart. And can I tell you, when you grow closer to God and you love His Word, you'll start seeing people like through God's eyes, and it'll break your heart when people are living in sin. It'll break your heart when people aren't making the right decision. Rivers of water run down my eyes because they keep not thy law. Oh, could I tell you, there is no better verse to put at the end of this section than this verse that's here, that describes a man who loves God with his whole heart, describes a man that loves the very words of God. Because someone that loves God, their heart will be breaking over those who don't. Let me ask you today, how much do we really love God and His Word? Because if you love God and His Word, it will break your heart to see people living in a world without Jesus. Allow it to break your heart. That it motivates you to get to the place and say, you know what? I just want to serve you, Lord. I just want to tell them. I just want them to know about the Savior who died for me, was buried and rose again. I want them to know the love that's in my heart. I want them to know my Jesus. Father, I thank you for this wonderful day and I thank you for this message. Lord, I pray that this message is a help and encouragement and reminder to us. I pray to encourage us to long for your word. Get back into your word and study it and read it like we should. And Lord, grow closer to you. And Lord, that you would burden our hearts for the lost. That we'd see people come to know you. Lord, I pray that you give us safety as we travel home. And I pray that this message would be in our minds throughout this week, Lord, to think about what can we do to grow closer. And Lord, what can we do to try to bring people to you? We ask in Jesus, your precious name. Amen.